Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's funny, I see two NL East teams playing each other all the time now. And I'm like, who do I want to win? Who do I want to lose to help the Nationals?
There are no winners.
And at this point, you kind of realize, well, nothing really matters unless the Nats start playing a whole lot better. Like, I can get upset or happy if the Phillies or the Braves win or whatever and they get a little bit of help. It doesn't matter if they don't win a lot of baseball games.
And I'm sitting there going, well, I think the Braves maybe have a higher ceiling than the Phillies, so maybe it's good that the Phillies win. But I'm like, am I really cheering for the Phillies? But nothing matters until they can score some runs and Patrick Corbin can have an ERA under 5.
Or six.
Or Strasburg pitches in baseball games.
G&D welcoming you back on The Fan with you until about 6:40 tonight, taking you up to pregame ahead of the Nationals and the Giants back here in D.C. First night they're actually allowed to have full capacity at Nationals Park since the pandemic began, which is pretty incredible. Capitals in the Beltway Blitz, Washington football team as well. But let's start things off on the diamond. Jessica Camerato covers the team for MLB.com, and she is with us on the BetQL guest hotline. Jessica, how about Corbin yesterday? First inning was a debacle, 35 pitches, walking the yard. After that, he didn't allow a run, and he really battled.
Well, we've seen this before with the Nationals pitchers. Well, they'll start off, they'll have a rough inning, some home runs leave the ballpark, and then they settle down. So at this point in time, it's like it's not like that's a huge change from things that we've seen before. But, yeah, Corbin, the story with him this season has just been looking to find that consistency and that rhythm.
So there's not a ton positive going on at the moment. One thing that is amazing, Jessica, I just can't express enough how ridiculous it is that Ryan Zimmerman is doing what he's doing. Basically playing 1.5 times per week, didn't play last year, on the north side of 35. Just every time he plays, he homers, basically. It's unbelievable that he's even helping a ball club after what he's kind of gone through or not gone through over the last couple years. Just remarkable.
So every time that he hits a home run or, you know, makes an impact, I think back to a day in spring training when Max Scherzer made the joke that he said, you know, it's good to have the old guys back. He said, everybody gives us a hard time, but I like having the old guys around. So you point to them, you point to Scherzer, you look at their age and what the two of them, but I mean, to your point about Zimmerman, really just very incredible. And Zimmerman will say that a big key to his success this season is the fact that he's not being tasked with playing an everyday role, and it gives himself the chance to rest, recover when he needs to, and we're really seeing the benefits of it.
Yeah, I get 15 tweets every time he gets a hit saying he should be playing more. And I always kind of ask those people that I respond to, have you ever asked yourself if he's this good because he's resting so much? I mean, we've seen him play more and his body breaks down or he's not this good. Maybe this is the perfect combination for him.
Yeah, and I think when a player who's been playing this game for so long, and he obviously knows his body better than anybody, when he's saying this is what's working for me, as much as people would like to see him on the field more often at this level of production, I mean, he's saying himself, like, if I was on the field every night, not sure if it would be as productive. So this is a really good situation for him.
A good situation for me and Danny is anytime Max Scherzer pitches. He's a lot of fun to watch. 104 strikeouts, 77 innings, and a 180 average against this year. He's got a lower ERA right now, 2.22, than he's had at any point during his career. What do you think the chances are, if the Nats aren't a whole lot better come the trade deadline, that they would trade Max Scherzer?
I mean, you're going to, his name has been coming up in trade buzz the entire season, and it's normal. You know, it's the name of the business when you have a player of this level with an expiring contract for his name to come up. At the same time, I mean, it's such a huge piece of the team to be parting ways with. So at this point in time, even though we are in June and a few, like a week into June, I think it's still too soon right now to really go there with like what's going to happen, but just expect this to continue.
I totally get it. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, if they are still not competitive, is that a real, like, is, I happen to believe, my take, just so you know, is they're not going to trade him.
I think they're just not going to trade him,
period. The Lerner's and Rizzo want him to chase a strikeout title here or whatever, but like, they could trade him for prospects. They don't have enough good prospects.
Yeah, they absolutely could. And it also comes down to, you know, Max has a say in this too. He with his contract situation, this, he does have a say in the matter. So there's a lot of pieces involved. What the Nationals want to do, and then also what Max would like to happen.
When do you expect Steven Strasburg to throw baseballs professionally on a pitching mound for the Washington Nationals again?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I was waiting for that one to come up. There's no set date with him right now. Like, part of it is, it's not just when can he get back on the mound. It's like they're also trying to figure out exactly the best route to take, what exactly is causing this, what the best line of treatment is. So it's more than just like an ankle sprain where you can put a firm timetable on it.
Great information, Jessica. Thank you for the time and enjoy the day today. If you get some ball in, no rain.
Thank you for that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jessica.
Well. Let's talk a little hockey. Ben Raby, Capitals pre and post on the Caps Radio Network. So, Ben, you're going, why hockey? Why today, June 10th? 3 years ago today.
Fountain day, baby.
The boys were swimming in the fountains, Ben Raby.
Boys were celebrating. That was a memorable day. And I remember thinking at the time, fellas, how organic it was, right? Like, that could not have been planned to that extent the way the events on a sunny Saturday afternoon played out 3 years ago. So, no, that was epic. And you know what, fellas, real quick? I thought in the years since, and I know the past calendar year has been very unorthodox, obviously, but I thought in the years since there would have been other championship teams who tried to emulate that. Can't be topped. And we haven't seen anything like it. It was epic.
You can try as you might. You're not going to beat Oshie and Ovechkin and the crew in the fountain. Was that the best moment of the week after the cup, or would you say Ovechkin with the cup on stage at the parade screaming, we weren't going to be bleep that year? Like, yeah. Did that top it? What do you think was the best?
I would say probably the Saturday, the celebration that we're talking about, the fountains, because, again, of how organic it was. Every team, or most teams, have a parade or a rally, and inevitably somebody gets up at a podium and says something that is memorable and that lasts with the fan base. But fans don't necessarily go back and remember the parade to the extent that they might remember something like this, just because of, and the fans were so involved in this, right? The players were inviting fans to join them and tour the city with them that Saturday afternoon into evening. I just think that because of how unique and special and, again, unplanned as it was, I think that tops it.
Yeah, a lot of regular folks have gotten drunk and fallen in water. It's just not the same as the way the Capitals did it.
Fully clothed.
I know. Benjamin, the key to that Stanley Cup run may have been Evgeny Kuznetsov. The key to the offseason may be Evgeny Kuznetsov, but not for all the good reasons. What are you thinking? What's going to happen? Call your shot here.
I don't know. Let's go back to talking about fountains. That was fun.
That was more
serious
fun.
Serious stuff here. This is serious business with Evgeny Kuznetsov. And all kidding aside here, yeah, absolutely. This is arguably the biggest storyline for the Capitals this offseason. What they do with a player who is midway through this 8-year contract he signed years ago. And really since that spring of 2018, when he showed the potential, showed the ceiling, showed just how good he could be, hasn't been the same player since the spring of 2018. So what do they do here? I think, as Brian McClellan noted, I think he mentioned to you, Grant, a couple of weeks ago on the show as well, I think they'll be open if there's an opportunity to potentially move on. I don't think they'll rule it out. They'll listen. They'll entertain offers for him. I think it's well known around the league that Capitals are open to business in terms of potentially moving on. And if he's back, we've seen this before. You got to hope that he comes back and he is dedicated after really this year was arguably Fellas, I think, the low point in the 4 years since he signed that deal, just as far as producing at the level that they need him to, and the consistency, which has so often been, you know, in and out. This year was perhaps the most Evgeny Kuznetsov-like that he's been in terms of that inconsistency, and you wonder night to night what you were going to get.
Yeah, I would trade him for draft picks at this point. I'm good on 92. Great memories. He was incredible for the cup run, but it's just not worth it to me at this point. As far as Ovechkin goes, what are we waiting for that contract? Do you think they'll do what they did with Oshie, where they don't sign him till after the expansion draft?
Yeah, probably. It makes sense. I mean, again, for context, if you sign him, then you need to protect him. If he's unsigned, you could expose him, protect somebody else in the limited allotment of players you could protect. You could expose him, and then you say to yourself, well, why are you exposing Ovechkin? Won't Seattle jump on taking one of the greatest goal scorers of all time? Well, not really, because they could take him and they risk the fact that, hey, he's a free agent a week later. He'll just re-sign with the Capitals. So for the Capitals, there isn't much incentive to sign him before July 17th, the day of the expansion draft. So I would look towards late July and, you know, maybe even into August, but certainly by late July, that's probably when you're circling a potential extension being signed and announced.
Man with the best hair on the Caps broadcast, Ben Raby. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
Superstar Danny Ruye. Kudos for all the accolades in the past week. Well deserved, sir.
Thank you, buddy. Always appreciate that. Let's talk again soon. Let's talk some WFT, please. Our pal Nikki Javala covers the Washington football team, so it's good she's talking about the Washington football team here on the Beltway Blitz. It's how we do it. Nikki, big story from minicamp, which is in the books already.
Yeah, 3 days already done. So now it's, you know, a month and a half in training camp, and that's the real competition for a lot of these positional battles.
Nikki, let's talk about some of those positional battles. Zero in on a couple. What is to be determined on this roster going into training camp?
Pretty much every position outside of, you know, some obvious ones. I mean, I think we know the starting defensive line as of now. Ron keeps stressing the quarterback competition. And while I do believe him in that, he wants to provide more reps to all three guys. The competition, as far as I'm concerned, is more with the backups. I mean, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, 16-year veteran who's on a $10 million a year, and two guys with relatively not a lot of starting experience behind them, who will be duking it out for the number two position, which, you know, is a very, very important position on any football team, especially this one, which has cycled through so many starters and dealt with so many injuries and performance issues at the position. So I think most eyes will be there. I think another position that certainly bears watching is the receiver spot. They added a lot of talent to that room, and there's a lot of competition now. I mean, you got Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel as one and two. Three would be probably Cam Sims at this point, but they have Adam Humphries. They have guys returning from last year. They got DeAndre Carter, who doubles as a returner. You got Gandy Golden coming back. And, oh, by the way, you drafted De'Ami Brown, who had a really impressive minicamp. So that's certainly one to watch. And the offense as a whole, I mean, in this group needs to produce. They've got a solid defense. It's possible they got even better this offseason, but you can't rely solely on that. You need the offense to produce, and you need some consistency on that end. So, you know, across the board, there are a number of things to watch when they head to Richmond and then return to Ashburn for training camp.
What's a reasonable expectation for that offense? Last year, they were close to 30 in pretty much every category where you would measure an offense's success. I don't think top 10 is within their grasp, Nikki, by almost any definition, but what should we expect, and what's reasonable?
Whatever brings them wins, honestly. I don't. For me, it's never been about stats. You know, if they can have the 22nd best scoring offense and still win games, great. You know, I think the key is producing and consistency, and that's going to start with the quarterback position. You know, can Ryan Fitzpatrick be that guy for this year? Can he lead that group? Can he provide some stability? Can he stay on the field for a full 17-game slate now? Or are they going to be cycling through quarterbacks again like last year and, you know, the year before? And is this going to be an ongoing thing?
But I think it all comes down to production, consistency, and, you know, ultimately protecting the ball. I agree with you. I don't think this is – I think they made some significant improvements in the talent they added this offseason. But I still very much think this is a team that is in transition offensively. And now, while we should expect growth and improvement and, a significant jump in their play, I would not expect them to come out, lights out. I just think they need to find a way to win games.
Nikki, we had Scott Turner on the show earlier today. He was really good. What did you think of him in his first year, and what do you think he needs to do better in his second year?
I think the same kind of applies to him that you would apply to rookie players, not in the exact same sense, but you expect kind of that year two jump, more comfort. He's got a better feel for his players, what he wants to do. They've been able to handpick a lot of the guys now. Whereas you step into a new team, you're making those initial adjustments to the rosters, and you got, some guys that are part of the old regime and part of the old system. You got some guys that you've brought in on your own. This offense, for the most part, are guys that, him and Ron and the rest of the coaching staff and personnel department have handpicked. So I think he should have a better feel of, the talent he has, what he ultimately wants to do with the offense, and how to best marry his scheme with the personnel he has. I thought he showed glimmers of what he can be as a coordinator last year. It wasn't as consistent, and those were for reasons that went beyond his play calling, though they're, it was a mix of everything. But I think just generally comfort and a better feel for his players should go a long way for Scott.
Nikki, thank you as always. Have a great weekend.
You bet. See you guys.
Go check out Nikki Javala's work in the Washington Post. She joins us on the Beltway Blitz. Next on Grant and Danny, we mentioned that Scott Turner was on the show in our first hour. He had a lot to say about Curtis Samuel and the many ways Washington plans on using him, where he's going to line up, and how they think he can impact their offense. You'll hear what he had to say about Samuel next. He's getting a lot of traction, as you'd expect, going into training camp next month. Who are some of the forgotten men on Washington's offense, though, that we shouldn't sleep on? That's next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, I think we got an opportunity to get some more explosive plays. And part of that is obviously throwing the ball down the field and going and getting it. We did a great job. I think we were one of the top 10 teams in the league in yards after catch. So that's always going to be a part of what we do. And I think we added some guys that are going to have some yard after catch ability. But yeah, you always look at yourself and you think, hey, where can we be better? And there's no denying that we gotta get some more plays where there's more air yards, the ball travels down the field, and we go and get it.
I liked a lot of what Scott Turner had to say when he joined us earlier today on Grant and Danny, but you just heard him using some of the phrases that make the rounds now in the analytics community, whether that's air yards. Talking yards after the catch. The problem is not advancing the football when they get it, Terry McLaurin and company. The problem is, where is it being thrown to?
Yeah, there's going to be yak when you throw a bubble screen.
A lot of horizontal passes. A lot of smokes to the outside, dumping the ball down to the running back, but they want to get the ball down the field. They got the weapons to do that, obviously. There's a lot of guys that get a lot of credit, a lot of attention, a lot of hype in this offense. So I want to talk about some of the underrated, maybe under-talked about players. And we won't just go offense. Let's widen this thing out to a don't sleep on him category here. And let's open up the phones first time today. Gambit DC listener lines on ball and on the Washington football team at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. So Curtis Samuel added this offseason. Everybody's talking about him. Terry McLaurin, we know, important. Who's a guy, Danny, that you're saying don't sleep on? And the reason I kind of came up with this and wanted to talk about this was in asking around to some people who've been around the facility the last few days about players that have stood out or just are quietly having good camps, Kelvin Harmon's name keeps coming up. Kelvin Harmon had a torn ACL last year, didn't play at all.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that while he was a late-round pick, he was productive in his rookie season in Washington. He got on the field. He caught 30 passes and got 44 targets, had almost 400 yards receiving. Bad offense without very good quarterback play.
Would have put him third among receivers last year on Washington's roster if he'd done that last year, just to give you a point of reference.
2019 season for him, while nothing eye-popping, was kind of impressive for a sixth-round pick who was 206 overall. So he goes into the offseason, and you're expecting that he's going to be able to compete for playing time. He got hurt, and he missed the entire year. No one has thought about him really since, but his name keeps coming up at the facility. He keeps making catches in practice. He keeps getting open. He's a really good blocker. He does little things really well. So I would say don't sleep on Kelvin Harmon. He and De'Ami Brown have both apparently had really good camps. So you've got the receiving group that we know about, McLaurin, Samuel, Humphreys, Cam Sims. They seem like the four guys that are going to make the team that are, you can put them in pen now. They're going to be on the roster. But the competition after that, AGG made a great catch today. Harmon keeps flashing. De'Ami Brown's a lock to be on the team because they just drafted him in the third round. I'm saying don't sleep on Kelvin Harmon as a guy that just maybe needs a little bit more run in the local dialogue.
That's a good one. Mine is a guy that everybody wants to, I don't want to say move on from, but emphasize other folks. J.D. McKissic caught 80 passes last year. Part of that's necessity. Part of that is they didn't have many better options. But you can't just luck box your way into 80 catches out of the backfield. I want Antonio Gibson to graduate into a three-down back. I want him to catch more passes and be used in more dynamic ways. But here's the other part of this. Both of those guys on the field at the same time, matchup problems, great things that Scott Turner's going to get in the lab and create. 80 catches for almost 600 yards last year. Now, 600 yards isn't a ton, but it's that functional first down, now you make it second and five. Those plays are delightful to me. It opens up running lanes. It makes it easier to have more manageable down and distance for sustained drives. Everybody's kind of thought about all the new toys. Rightfully so. McLaurin, not a new toy, but a star. Now you got Curtis Samuel to the mix. You're talking about Adam Humphreys as the slot, the return of Kelvin Harmon, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Nobody's really paying attention to a guy that had 80 catches last season.
And a million targets. Do you have the year's last year's stats in front of you?
80 catches, 110 targets.
110 targets. First of all, that catch to target percentage is astronomical.
73%.
Pretty much through the roof. You don't see that. Now it's a running back, so it should be around 75%. Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of what Scott Turner likes, by the way. In fact, when he was on the show earlier today, we asked him about throwing to the running back because this is something that it has been proven statistically is an underutilized facet of moving the football. This is a way that teams don't tap into enough, but on a very high percentage, you can be ultra efficient, throwing the ball to backs, letting them make plays after the catch to get to the sticks. Here's what he had to say about throwing to the running backs.
We did a little of that with Antonio as well as JD. I think JD brings a little bit of that capabilities as well. They were both college receivers, and I'm a big basketball fan as well. So I know exactly what you're talking about, and it's a mismatch game. I mean, the basketball is a mismatch game, and so is football. You know, you look at your matchups. And you try to take advantage of the ones that are in your favor.
And when he was referencing basketball, he was talking about the idea of kind of positionless football, which is a lot like basketball right now. You're looking for a matchup problem. You're looking for someone who can take advantage by posting up a point guard, but maybe also going around a forward that doesn't necessarily have a defined position. Let's go to Harold, who's in D.C. Harold, who should we not sleep on as we start to think about some of the players who could make an impact this year for Washington?
Hey, Daniel, definitely up on Harmon. I've been following him, you know, through his injury and really making progress. And kid seems to have the right attitude. But the guy I'm tired of people sleeping on all the time is Matty Ice. Ioannidis was kind of like our Dave Butts back in the day. He anchored that line and allowed everybody else to do what they're doing. We missed him last year. We had a great season. But with him, our line is just, I think, off the charts.
That's mine on defense. That's the answer. Mm-hmm. Led the team in quarterback hits last time he played. Led the team in tackles for losses last time he played. Led the team in sacks the last time he played. The team defense, in terms of pass rush, was more efficient when he was rotating in. Now, I'm not saying you're
well,
better
he's their
or worse,
best pass rushing defensive lineman. Now, I guess in their 4-3, you consider Chase Young a lineman, Montez Sweat. But as far as their interior guys,
yeah,
like I guess I still think of it almost like a 34 where those guys are
among
rushers.
Allen, Payne, Settle,
exactly,
yeah, absolutely.
Of the D tackles, he's their best rusher. By the way, Settle last year kind of replaced him, maybe like a B version of him, but in terms of quarterback hurries mm-hmm. per rush, his numbers were off the charts. He was really impressive.
He was good.
But if you stack up Ioannidis versus Allen, who's going to get paid a boatload of money, maybe $17 million a year on his extension or something crazy. Daron Payne, who may or may not re-sign here, but is going to get a lot of money somewhere in a couple seasons. Matt Ioannidis has been a way more effective, way more consistent pass rusher when it comes to getting to the quarterback. 7.5 sacks 2018, 8.5 sacks 2019, and in both of those years, he missed some time. He missed two games in 2018, or else he was on his way to what looked like maybe a 10-sack season. And in both of those seasons, he played with like a club on his arm and played without being 100%. He's been banged up, or else I honestly think he would have played in a Pro Bowl by now. Neither of those other guys have, but the reason, it's not that he's necessarily a better all-around player than them, but you get to the Pro Bowl, you get paid, you get notoriety from sacking the quarterback. And he sacks the quarterback, hits the quarterback, pressures the quarterback more than those other two guys.
If it weren't for injuries, we would think of him differently. We'd be talking about Matt Ioannidis in a very different way.
But can he stay healthy?
That's the question. It is. I mean, I hate that. I hate that we have to do that for guys, but that's where we're at with him. I mean, you pretty much missed all of last year.
He missed two games in 17, two games in 18. He actually played every game in 19.
And you saw the productivity.
You did. However, when he played every game that year, if you remember, he played hurt for several games in that mm-hmm. year, if I remember correctly. And then he had 8.5 sacks, which is not nothing. But it would have been higher than that. He got slowed down when he started to play through pain. But he missed 13 of 16 games last season.
Yeah.
So the question is, how much Matt Ioannidis can you get? But I love that answer. I think that's really good. Another guy that I would say, and the question is, who shouldn't we be sleeping on? Who isn't getting enough attention or credit? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I talked about Deami Brown. I think he's so versatile that because he can play slot, because he can play both positions at wide receiver on the outside at the boundary, I believe he's actually potentially going to get a lot of snaps this year that people aren't expecting. But we already talked a lot about wide receivers, so I'll leave that there. I'm going to go to the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say that a fourth linebacker, I don't know who it ends up being, but whoever is going to emerge as the guy next on the depth chart behind Cole Holcomb, John Bostic, and Jamin Davis is going to be a very important player on this team. The chance that those three guys combine for 48 games played is what? Very slim, would you say? Almost zero in this league?
It's hard, man. Yeah.
And I'm using 16 games. I guess it's 17.
17 now. So what, 51 games?
51 games. By the way, the longest season in the history of the league. I'm sure you don't need more depth than ever. They're not deep there. They got special teams type guys. I don't know who the fourth dude's going to end up being. But I know this. They need somebody to step up as a option on defense. Not just – that's a good special teams player who gets exposed every time they play. Think like Martrell Spate or any of those guys over the years who was brought here to basically play teams. By the way, we've got these two things that are supposed to be killing all these flies, these fly catcher, these fruit fly apple with vinegar things. And I think we've got three in these two apples since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I got this bastard that keeps landing on my microphone while I'm talking. There's nothing worse than just flies landing on
you know it's right under your nose. It's there.
Where you're, I mean, my lips are an inch from it. They could go into my mouth with every word I'm speaking. Two have gone into my mouth in the last 2 weeks. This guy just keeps landing here and like looking right at me.
It's my microphone.
Cicada eyes looking right at me.
It's giving you I'm the captain now on the microphone.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now. Anyway, pick your linebacker. I don't know which one's going to be the dude. But I just know this.
I mean, Kalik Hudson's my odds-on favorite because I thought he handled himself pretty well last year in a smaller sample.
But I don't think of him as a – like, he can't line up at Mike linebacker and come downhill and stop at plays in the run. That's not what Kalik Hudson is. That's like a Mayo thing. That's a Norris thing. One of those types of guys.
Mm-hmm.
No one's talking about this.
Yeah.
We keep talking about defensive
end
and the lack of depth.
You're right.
They don't have a fourth NFL linebacker who's like gone out there and played 16 games and made 95 tackles.
They're going to give, you know, I mean, this is kind of how they found Bostic, right? A guy that was an afterthought for a couple different teams.
But he was a second round pick.
At one point, yeah.
But he started everywhere he was before he came here.
It's true. I mean, but readily available for not that much. It was kind of my point, right?
But he's an NFL linebacker.
Yes.
The dudes they have on the depth chart
it's
are
David Mayo,
teams
Casey
players.
Tuhill, Justin Phillips, Jared Norris, Jordan Kenna's kind of swimmy Samsonite, and Joe Walk. Guys that aren't household names. So they're gonna throw some stuff at the wall and see if it sticks. I wonder if the plan is the same as at kind of their third defensive end.
David Mayo's had the best season of any of those guys, I believe. He had an 80 tackle season with the Giants mm-hmm. a few years ago. That's the list, I think, of the dudes who have gone out and played 15, 16 games on defense and made 80 tackles.
The reason we keep hitting this depth angle, A, you've touched on it, 100% correct. Longest season we've ever had. We've never done 17 before.
You don't need to be thinner than you used to be.
That's number one. I understand you can't have a start every position, and nobody's even suggesting that. What we are saying is, hey, have you noticed that right behind this, it's like if you go to the depth chart, right? I use Our Lads. It's a great little thing that's got the NFL depth charts, and they're not always 100%, but they're really close. The far left column is the starters. You read those names, and you go, yeah, I'll puff my chest out a little bit. That feels pretty good. Well, the inevitable on paper always is different than the reality in week 2, week 3, week 7, week 10, all the attrition that happens. The next column over, you start to cringe a little bit. You go, oh, man, what if he has to play for 6 weeks, 7 weeks at a time, which always happens. Again, I don't blame Reed Dowdy for being Reed Dowdy. I blame the organization for not having a better plan than having Reed Dowdy line up as your free safety for 10 weeks at a time for years.
There's basically two groups of player this time of year. It's the guys that everyone's talking about, and then there's dudes that's like they don't even exist. We're trying to figure out who are people forgetting, who's not getting enough attention that's going to play a huge role this year, who shouldn't we sleep on? 800-636-1067 is the number. Gambit DC listener lines on Grant and Danny.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's more so like it's Saturday and we just had our walkthrough and I'm on the couch taking a nap before we have our hotel, you know, before we meet at the hotel, and all of a sudden I see something and maybe jot something in my notes app on my phone or you know, something like that. It's just it's funny. You kind of always you're watching the game and something might pop up or you know, we watch other teams in the NFL and it's research, you know, it's just called research, and then you get ideas and think, hey, this fits us or you know, sometimes it doesn't or whatever, but yeah, you're always looking to see, you know, what can we do to try to, you know, get some first downs and score some points.
That's offensive coordinator Scott Turner joined the show earlier today. If you missed that interview, make sure you podcast it, grantanddanny.com/audio when we're done. Of course, the rewind function is available to you on the Odyssey app. Radio.com used to be Odyssey. So if you had that app, you still got it. It's just a new name. Check it out. It's got all the audio that matters to you, including the Grant and Danny Show and The Fan every day, all day. Phones are open, 800-636-1067 on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. Talking about players that aren't getting enough run this time of year on the Washington football team who might help a lot this season. Jermaine is in Waldorf on G&D. What's up, Jermaine? How are you, man?
I'm doing good. It's not a player that needs to get more run. I think it's a player that has no spot on his team anymore since Alex Smith is not there.
Ooh.
And that's J.D. McKissic.
interesting. So we were just talking about what a big year he had last year. I absolutely categorically agree that his value is down. Like if we're talking stock, I'll give you a great example.
Yeah, I don't think he's having 80 catches this year.
I have him in a dynasty league, and he helped carry me to a championship game last year because of PPR. I got a point for every catch. I knew he was going to get targeted 10 to 12 times a game because Alex Smith's going to live and die with him out of the backfield. That's not going to happen anymore.
Correct.
So 110 targets is coming way down. 80 catches is coming way down. To say he doesn't have a spot on the team, I think, is still a little bit crazy because he was awesome last season.
What would you guess for targets? Because I got a number in my head. I wonder if you're on the same wavelength as me.
I'll say 75.
That's exactly the number I had. Something increase like for Gibson. Increase going to wide receivers. Probably a little bit less for Logan Thomas, who was also at a $110 last year, I would guess, right? Because you got more weapons. But there's just not enough mouths to feed. But you know, more possessions, more first downs, more yardage. You would think climbing out of the basement, there's some more chances for people to eat. But 75 to 80 was the number I had in my mind. Nothing either, by the way.
Alex Smith is the master of throwing to the running back. Scott Turner likes doing it, though. I asked him the question point blank earlier today. How much of that is Alex? How much of that is you? He referenced the Carolina days. He had Christian McCaffrey. He cut his teeth as a play designer and a play caller with one of the best pass-catching running backs in league history coming out of the backfield. That's going to alter the way you view and see and conceive offense. It's going to change conceptually the way you think of moving the football. I think he likes throwing to running backs, and he should. It's the most underutilized, ultra-efficient way to gain yards without much risk. And I like that about Turner. But you're right about Gibson. I mean, you drafted a former wide receiver to play running back who's a better thumper than I thought between the tackles. You do have to better utilize him in that capacity this season. Andrew in Stafford, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, buddy?
Just to follow up on your linebacker comment, Grant, I think actually Collins is somebody that's forgotten because of how poorly he played last year. But
Landon Collins you're talking
that's
about?
That's a great answer to this.
Yeah. Yeah. Since we brought in Jackson, he's our number one, and everybody else gets shifted down. So our former number one is borderline, but is now a legit number two corner. So our defensive backfield can man up better against three receiver sets.
Oh, you broke up. It's a good
for
call.
For some reason, your phone gave out on you, but I love where you're going.
Yeah, so I'm not as bullish on Collins. I think they're waiting for a chance to move on from that deal. Honestly, and if they feel like, you know, maybe he's a surprise cut, honestly, I think we're even at that level, just given that it's post-June 1st. Yeah, and they could spread out
the
hit.
Do you know how much money they'd have to pay to cut him?
It's less than before June 1st. It's still a lot,
yeah,
so
but it's
maybe he's going to stay around.
A ton of money to pay him to not play for you.
It is.
Or you could pay him the money and he could play for you.
And have him be rotational. But I do think he is a candidate for that. I'm not predicting it, but I think he's. I'm that low on him. I just think they're ready to move on. He's a veteran. He's not from this regime. It's, you know, it's kind of a ghost of Bruce Allen just reminding him that he wasn't good at running a franchise maybe to these guys. But everyone's overlooking it. I'll say that. Everyone's decided to kind of they're in my camp, I think, that there's no way he plays well. There's no way he contributes. There's no way he's really a starter or can help them. And people are overlooking it. So that's why that's a good answer to me.
His best game was the game he got hurt. He was great at the beginning of that game. That's kind of how it goes sometimes, which is awful. And it's just the weird aspect of this league, I guess. But he looked like the guy they signed that day. Fly around and make plays. He seems unwilling and pretty unwavering when it comes to talking about playing any kind of linebacker or something like that. That's frustrating to me. But if they're able to just move him around and put him in position to make plays, I think he could still do that. He's the second highest paid guy on the team this year. You know that? So it's Brandon Scherff at $18 million. Landon Collins with a cap number of $16.9 million. Basically a $17 million player. Kendall Fuller at $13 million is their third highest paid. Ryan Fitzpatrick at $10.5 million is fourth. John Allen at $10 million is fifth. Chase Young's already the sixth highest paid player on the team.
Yeah, they did a kind of a funky thing with Curtis Samuel's deal where it doesn't count that much this year, but then next year it balloons into the 12, 13 range, I think.
$7.8 million for Young. Matt Ioannidis, seventh at $6.9 million. A little bit surprising here. Who's their eighth highest paid player? Wes Schweitzer.
Oh, Wes.
They traded for Ereck Flowers so that he could start over Schweitzer, who had a pretty good year last year at $4.9 million. And then William Jackson III, $4.6 million, rounds out the top 10. But they don't have a single bad contract other than Landon Collins. That's pretty amazing. They're in such good financial shape. The Scherff cap number, who they overpay at guard, comes off the books in a year. I believe in Andy McPhail's philosophy, there's never been a bad one-year deal. So that's a one-year deal, and then it's gone. Landon Collins, you might be out of that contract next year. Now you're going to be paying to get out of the contract dead money. But still a one-year deal. And then you have no one making over $13 million per year on the cap this season. Pretty crazy.
That is nuts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, our 5 at 5 coming up at the top of the hour, covering all the big stories in sports. Let's talk quarterbacks at 5:25 today. Before we get out of here tonight, Nats getting ready for a Giants team that has shocked baseball by being really good this season. We will break down Ryan Zimmerman's unbelievable campaign, and we get to see Scherzer at home again in this series. You're listening to the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.